If you're watching the Super Bowl at home or just hunkered down on a cold winter day, you might find yourself thinking a bowl of stew would be a good companion. Something comforting. Something to park on the stove or in the oven for a long time without the need for much poking or prodding. Now, with some tips for how to make a good stew even better, is our occasional food commentator Mark Bittman, who has a broad definition of stew.
Most simply put, you could say it's almost anything solid cooked in almost anything liquid, and cooked for a long enough period of time so that whatever your solids are become very, very tender, meltingly tender, as Paula Wolfert likes to say.
And the beauty is you could throw just about anything you want in that pot.
Right, just like soup. If you can think of it and it sounds good, you can put it in there. One major difference tends to be that, especially with meat and poultry stews, the process usually begins with browning.
Well, I wanted to ask you about browning because this is the part that always trips me up. It just seems you never really know how long you're supposed to be browning this stuff, how brown it should be. Does it have to be brown on every side of that cube, which means you're going to be browning for a really long time?
Well, you've hit the nail on the head. And if you want to brown a fair amount of meat, it's going to take a half an hour, and it can take longer than that. What you want from browning is a dark crust, and there's a scientific name for this called the Maillard reaction, which basically means that the outside of the meat is converted from relatively simple compounds into more complex, sweeter, more flavorful compounds. So really, the more of it, the better. Having said that, it's a pain in the neck to do this.
It's a bit of a mess.
So we look for shortcuts. So one shortcut is brown with the lid on, and this isn't ideal, but at least it keeps the spattering down. These days, my favorite method of browning is actually to put the meat in the pan I'm going to cook it in and throw it in a really, really high oven and kind of walk away. The mess stays inside the oven, which out of sight, out of mind, as far as I'm concerned. And it works very, very well.
How about the liquid, and how important is it, do you think, to use stock as opposed to water, say?
Well, that's another key question. I made short ribs the other day, and short ribs are a perfect stewing meat, and they have bones, so you're going to get some gelatin out of them, and they have plenty of connective tissue, so you're going to get lots of flavor out of that. But I still used stock, and I used it because I had it. And I would say, if you have stock, use it, and if you don't have stock, you can definitely make a good, starting with good cuts of meat, you can definitely make a good stew without stock.
And what about wine?
I like red wine in stocks, and it makes this wonderful, you know, very, very deep color, which is a pleasant thing. And I think that the color of stews sort of affects our perception of them. And the darker the stew, the richer we assume it is, even if we're wrong. But it does lend a nice acidity and a certain, not real distinctive, but a certain flavor you can pick up if you're thinking about it.
What else goes in, Mark? Are there things that work particularly well in stews? I'm sure we're all thinking carrots, potatoes, but other vegetables that we might not be thinking of that are great in stew?
Yes, and perhaps even more to the point is when these vegetables are added. When we think about carrots, celery, onions, you know, you're cooking a stew for so long, and if you're using a classic piece of meat, you may be cooking for 3-4 hours. If you're cooking it for that long, the vegetables used at the beginning are disintegrating. There's no point in putting potatoes in at the beginning, for example, because they're just going to fall apart and you'll never know they were there. Hard vegetables like that, maybe half an hour is a good period of time to think of. Softer vegetables like peas or string beans, things like that, might take only 15 or 20 minutes. And just add them that much before the stew is finished so that they retain some freshness, maybe even a little crispness, but they retain their identity and their, you know, their flavor instead of melting into the stew, which is what happens to the vegetables you use at the beginning.
Do you have, if you were to be rummaging through your freezer and your refrigerator, what do you think the favorite stew is that you would come up with?
I tend to think of stews in sort of two categories, and I think European and then I think Asian. So if we're looking at, again, these short ribs are just happen to be a prime example, which is why I keep bringing them up. But I did them the other day, as I said, with red wine and stock, and my base was thyme, bay leaves, garlic, onions, celery, carrots. This is a very, very traditional and typical European preparation. There were no surprises there. But with very little change in technique and about the same amount of work, I could have used, you know, something like garlic, ginger, soy, a little bit of sugar, maybe some star anise, and gone in a completely different, obviously Asian direction. And you can pretty much make that choice or those kinds of choices with just about any stew you want. I mean, if you wanted to use sweet spices like cinnamon, again, ginger, perhaps a little chili and get sort of a North African flavor, you can do that. You can think of Indian seasonings and go in that direction. Basically, the technique remains identical. You hardly change anything. But if you change a few of the flavors, you can change the entire soul, the entire spirit of the dish.
Mark, nice talking to you again.
I'm very hungry now, Melissa. I can't imagine why.
Me too. Mark Bittman, author of How to Cook Everything and the New York Times food column, The Minimalist. You can find some of Mark's recipes for stew at our website, npr.org.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.